to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's up, guys? It's Chris. You can call me CO. If you guys want to reach out, you can hit me on Twitter at the CO Place to Go and at Twitch at the CO Place to Go. Also, play some video games on there, and I'm planning on doing like a video podcast on there as well. For those of you who weren't here last week for the show, a little about me. I used to do a podcast about 5 years ago. It wasn't specifically wrestling based, it was just for fun, and kind of fell out of the game. But like in wrestling, you never say never. And so I got this really good opportunity with the WWE podcast. I started getting the itch again, and I found the WWE podcast about a year ago in covering Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, things like that. So I appreciate the opportunity. It was a great, great opportunity with the WWE podcast to work on this NXT review. This WWE podcast is available on Speaker, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and other platforms as well. And wherever you're listening to this, it's very much appreciated. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start out with a sponsor. The sponsor is mybookie.ag. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make games even more exciting than to bet on them. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. And don't forget when you're betting, don't forget where you're betting. It's just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play and where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. So join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. All you have to do is use promo code WWE to activate the offer. Again, that's promo code WWE. So visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, so let's get back to the podcast. So we were talking about the WWE draft. Now, I know I'm covering NXT, but each week I'm going to kind of go over some things that happened during the week just because I watch wrestling. I don't just watch NXT. I watch WWE as a whole. I haven't really caught a lot of AEW, but I do watch WWE as a whole, so I do want to talk about a couple things before we get to the actual NXT portion itself. So one of the things I wanted to touch on was the draft. Obviously, that was the big news. Started Friday here in Las Vegas, actually. SmackDown was here, and I actually had a chance to talk to Luke Harper and Dolph Ziggler. It's legit. It's not a work. It's legit. These guys don't know where they're going. They showed up to SmackDown. They weren't going to be used, so they came in to where I work, and we're hanging out. And I was talking to them, and they're like, "Yeah, we honestly don't know where we go. We show up at the building. They say if we need you or not. So they go to Raw. That was the next spot that they were heading to. So it's an actual serious thing." Of course, you know, the people in charge know, Vince knows, all, you know, the writers know, all these guys know, but the wrestlers themselves, I mean, if I'm to believe what both of them said, which I do, then they don't know where they're going. Now, when you look at the draft, it looks very, very one-sided. I would have to say SmackDown won, without question, SmackDown won. And I think that's because Fox put so much money into this show that they're going to sit there and get exactly who they want when they want that person. So, for me, SmackDown is going to be the show to watch. Obviously, Monday Night Raw is Monday Night Raw. I'd like to think with Paul Heyman on there and maybe some of the picks they made, I would like to see them maybe go a bit edgier, a little more, being that it's on cable television. I'm not saying the Attitude Era, but I would love to be able to see it get a little edgier, a little, you know, not ECW edgy, but you know, chair shots, things like that. No headshots, obviously, but a little bit more hardcore. You know, and when you discuss SmackDown, their executive director, producer, whatever you want to call him, Eric Bischoff, He got hired, what, 4 or 5 months ago, maybe? Something like that, to turn around SmackDown. And Paul Heyman was hired at the same time, but Paul Heyman's been in the building the entire time. So he's been around the game. He knows the people. He knows, you know, kind of what's going on. But for Eric Bischoff, he kind of did his own podcast. He was doing his own thing. I don't even know if he was on a Legends contract, but they used him for a lot of videos and things like that. Well, they cut ties with him. He was fired as of, what's today, Wednesday. He was fired on, it was over the weekend that I heard that Bruce Pritchard, maybe it was Monday at the latest, that Bruce Pritchard would become the new executive director of SmackDown. Now, a lot of the issues with Eric Bischoff were mentioned that he was out of touch with the product. He was didn't know who the wrestlers were. He didn't have a clue about the goings-on, that he was hanging out and catering and things like that. And in reality, those are things that you probably shouldn't be doing if you're getting back in the game and getting back into the system itself. Now, what I will say is that do I believe he was sitting in catering and didn't know who people were? No. I mean, he has to do his homework. You're not going to hire somebody to sit there and not have a clue about what's going on and not have any type of idea, and especially a great mind like Eric Bischoff. It's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that he is completely clueless. But I will say, cutting ties with him, I mean, on a personal level, that kind of sucks. He moved from, man, where did he live? It was like Montana, Wyoming, one of the Dakotas. It was out like Midwest to Northwest. He lived there, and he moved his family 4 months ago to Connecticut. That is a huge move, a drastic, life-changing move, and now is since no longer with the company. So I do feel bad on a personal level for him, but also wish him best. Do I think he'll show up in AEW? Probably. A lot of the guys who get cut do. But, you know, I just wish the best for SmackDown, and I think being on Fox, they were under a gun, really. It was very, you know, get it done now or don't get it done at all, and you're out, and that's kind of what happened. Next, we had some talk about the Crown Jewel. As a huge Undertaker fan, Crown Jewel last year was, earlier this year, was very, very disappointing. Painful to watch may be the best way to put it. But they're doing another Crown Jewel. The only match I'm excited to see that's on the card right now is The Fiend versus Rollins. And, you know, if you look at the draft, The Fiend is on SmackDown, Rollins is on Raw. Now, how does that make sense to have that match at the Crown Jewel? They're not going to have both belts on one show. I mean, you got Brock Lesnar on SmackDown. They're not going to have The Fiend win the belt. I can't see The Fiend losing. I do think that he's going to win. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't see them putting just their minor titles on one show and their major titles on the other. But I just can't see how Rollins will win that match. I just don't think it's right. And that could destroy The Fiend character. Next match you got, Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez, and that is for the title. Now, here's the way I look at that. Now, I didn't pay attention to every single draft pick. Was Cain Velasquez picked on any show? I don't know. If he was he put on SmackDown? If he wasn't, is he a free agent? Could he be the reason that Lesnar might lose the belt? The belt then goes to Raw. So the Raw will still have a championship. And then SmackDown, if The Fiend wins, which I think he needs to, will be on SmackDown. So SmackDown and Raw will each have a major championship. I don't know. I don't want to see Cain Velasquez win. I haven't personally seen him wrestle ever. I know he's done some stuff for, AAA and things like that. But I've never seen him wrestle, and I can't imagine that it's going to be that great of an experience, to be honest. Next one, yeah, I just caught a glimpse of this. The Tyson Fury is sitting in the ring talking to Braun Strowman. I don't know what to expect in this match. I mean, he is under a boxing contract. I cannot see him taking any serious bumps. I think I talked about this last week, that I just don't see there being any way that any type of physical anything happens to him that's not closely guarded and closely monitored by, you know, little punches here and there. He's a boxer. You could take a punch, but a slam is a little bit different. You know, you throw that guy's shoulder out or back. I mean, his career is done. Next, I'm going to get to a couple birthdays. We did this last week. Last week, it was Eddie Guerrero's birthday on October 9th. Today being October 16th, it is Kenny Omega's birthday. Now, I know he's not in WWE. I wish WWE got him. They didn't. He decided to stick with New Japan. This is a couple years ago. He decided to stick with New Japan. I was thinking it was going to be a big AJ Styles type show up at the Rumble, and that would have been fantastic. I mean, the pop that AJ Styles got was absolutely amazing. But I figured Kenny Omega could do the same. He didn't. He is now an AEW executive. I don't know who the true executive team is there, but he's listed as an executive. So I do think that, you know, I mean, he obviously is a great talent. Bunch of five-star, six-star matches, as Dave Meltzer would call them, with, who was that? With Okada in New Japan. And, I mean, he really put together some great matches, put him on the map even more than he was. And then the show Being the Elite, fantastic show. If you haven't seen that on YouTube, check that out. Again, we're talking AEW here. But you know, I wish the best to Kenny Omega. Happy birthday to him. Also in the NXT brand, we have Zia Brookside. Zia Brookside is the daughter of Robbie Brookside, who's one of the head trainers of NXT. She wrestles in the NXT UK brand. Good talent, still young. A lot of upside with her. And last birthday that we're going to cover is just incredible. Dude spent a lot of time in ECW. He was in WWE. WWE career never really took off. He was more of an ECW guy. You know, the past probably 5 to 7 years, he's had a lot of trouble with the law. Even earlier this year, I think he got arrested again over for something. But you know, wish the best for Just Incredible. But those are our birthdays for this week. And it's just, you know, every week we're going to do that. It's just something good to do to kind of like throw some positivity out there. Birthdays are usually positive, you know, unless it's a posthumous one. So now let's take a look at last week's episode. So last week's episode was the first episode that I reviewed. To me, it was a good show to start on with the NXT Cruiserweight belt, which I'm going to drop the word WWE from that. To me, it is just the NXT Cruiserweight belt now. Leo Rush beat Drew Gulak for the championship. Great match. Leo Rush, for being off for 4 or 5 months since WrestleMania time, just really showed that that's his fitting. Like, I think he's a good talker, good mouthpiece, so he could be a good manager, but he is a cruiserweight wrestler, and he showcased that against Drew Gulak. Great match. Nice little sign of respect after by Gulak coming back in and putting the belt on his shoulder. So that was really nice. Next thing, you had Tommaso Ciampa come out last week. He got into a backstage with Angel Garza on his way back in. Angel Garza was saying, why don't you interview me, not this guy, whatever. And he ended up getting knocked out, which is actually going to set up a match for tonight. The first match on the card, actually. Isaiah Swerve Scott, who used to be Killshot in Lucha Underground. So if you used to watch Lucha Underground, you know, I did season one to see Ricochet. Like, I had a chance to be able to watch Ricochet consistently, and he was Prince Puma, and he was fantastic. So it made me, like, really get into Ricochet, like, after not knowing a lot about him prior to that. But Swerve Scott used to be Killshot. Very, very impressive. I look for great things for him coming up. I know he's going to be working for the like the 205 group, and also for NXT. And then you had Walter versus Kushida was your main event. It wasn't a title match or anything like that. It was just a kind of a grudge match for a few weeks build up, maybe 6 weeks worth of build up between Kushida and Walter. Great match, totally different styles. One's a striker, high flyer. The other one is a striker, but power striker. Like, Walter is, I mean, he's turned people's chest bloody by the hits. His open palm strikes. It is incredible. Kushida actually, I believe, legit injured his wrist. He went to social media and said that, you know, he will be back better than ever. Showed the wrist. It was in a hard cast. So I would assume it is a full legit injury. And, you know, we wish him the best and hopefully a speedy recovery. So on to the show tonight. So the show tonight was, in my opinion, I've watched the last four NXTs pretty religiously, knowing that this was something that was going to happen. I wanted to try to get in tune with NXT as much as possible. This 1 month into them doing live shows was overall their best show. I'm going to go through some of the matches, some of the highlights from some of the matches, give you kind of ratings. I did that last week. When I think about them next, I'm going to be telling you where these go from there. Matches and promos. I'm going to talk about the promos as well, because there was one specifically good promo. But I'm going to be going through with the ratings, where we're going from here, what I think's coming up, and even some matches for next week that they put on there. Now, last week, they also said we're going to have a match in 2 weeks, which would now be next week at this point. That was going to be Velveteen Dream versus Roderick Strong. I think the reason they set that up, because this week they didn't say any matches 2 weeks from now, but I think they set that up for an angle that they shot tonight, and I will be telling you about that right after this first match. So the first match was Tommaso Ciampa versus Angel Garza. Ciampa's first match, televised match back. And he looks like being in great shape coming off neck surgery. I'm going to be honest with you. I was expecting him to be a little thinner than he was because, you know, neck surgery, it's hard to lift weights properly with an injured neck. I mean, you can work on legs all day. Upper body is a little bit tougher. He looks to be in great shape. Doesn't look like he lost a lot of weight, maybe not as toned as he was before, but still looks fantastic. And Angel Garza, so I'm going to throw a name out that he reminds me of. Feel free to tell me if you believe me or not, but he reminds me of a younger, cleaner Alberto Del Rio. Now, Garza's a third-generation wrestler from Mexico, from Monterrey, I believe. He reminds me of just a younger, if we got Del Rio in his 20s. Garza looks fantastic, great wrestler, good moves. Obviously, this was not going to be a match he was going to win on a returning Tommaso Ciampa. The match was very safe. There were some drop kicks. There were some, you know, some moves in the turnbuckle, like, you know, Irish whips into clotheslines, elbows, things like that. A very, very safe match. This is the kind of match that I'd like to see Ciampa working more. Obviously, if you're going to be putting on takeover-type matches, you're not going to be able to work a match like this. But to get back into the game, he's going to need to do a little more of that. I don't want to see him out again. He's had, what, 4 major surgeries in the last 2 to 3 years? I think it was, what, shoulder, 2 knees, and then now his neck? I mean, there's not a lot else that you can do and still be a functioning human. I mean, he does have a family. So to end this match, he hit the, I believe it's called the Willow's Bell. It's a DDT where the opponent is on the outside of the ring. He goes in between the second and third ropes. He gets, it's like a draping DDT similar to Randy Orton's, except his feet don't hang on the side. His feet are down. So it's literally, he shoots up in an angle, about a 45 degree angle by the time it's done. Fantastic DDT that took out Garza. Is some funny spots in that match. You had Ciampa, Garza during the match. He took off his they're almost like warm-up pants he was wearing over his tights. And he took those off, and Ciampa ended up, once Garza was outside the ring, he ended up kind of fighting the tights, which was pretty funny. It was a nice little spot. It added to the match, and it got Ciampa over even more. After the match, Undisputed Era came out. I see them, what, 4 or 5 times a night, minimum, whether they're wrestling or not. They're all over, very NWO feel to me. But the Undisputed Era came out, they surrounded Ciampa. Ciampa was in the ring with his chair and his crutch like he had the week before. But instead of fighting him or doing anything that related to him, Kyle O'Reilly gave a USB drive to Mauro Ranallo. And so on that USB drive, he said, "You might want to see this." So they went on to break, came back, and it showed the aftermath of a beatdown on Velveteen Dream. So remember when I said before that there was a match they listed 2 weeks as Roderick Strong versus Velveteen Dream? So you got William Regal coming out saying that he's got some bad injuries. He's not going to be able to wrestle in that match. But the number one contender match will be later on for the North American Championship between Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic. So all in all, that match was probably a 3 out of 5. It wasn't a very long match. It was a safe match. It was nice to see Ciampa in there. And it was about a 2.5 match for me. Average, but good to see him healthy. But the extra half point for Undisputed Era coming out and setting up a potential feud, because in that they also mentioned Finn Balor, Tommaso Ciampa, Velveteen Dream, and those three names I'm going to lump together with somebody else that I'm going to talk about something later on that might be something for War Games. Next matchup was Danny Burch, Oney Lorcan, versus two members of the Imperium. Now, the guys in the Imperium were Eichner and Bartel. Now, Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan they're odd to me. Their offense is unpredictable. They're very hard-hitting. There was one spot I saw that I thought was very interesting. I don't know who it was. I think it was Eichner. Jumped off the top rope and Birch came up underneath his like chin and chest and hit him with a headbutt. That's just very strange. And watching Oney Lorcan wrestle, it's kind of like watching a rabid animal. He moves around a lot. Like there's obvious intentions on the move he does, but a lot of the different moves he does are very random. Like you don't piece them together like you do in a lot of matches. And so that's one thing I like about Oney Lorcan. He's all over the place. I think this tag team, Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan, is a tag team worth noticing in this division. I mean, you look at, I guess the Street Profits got drafted. Do they come back? I don't know. I don't see them being on the show. It's going to be like the War Raiders, you know, Viking Warriors, Viking Raiders, whatever they're called now. You get your send off and you get drafted and you get taken up. I feel like I have that feel with the Street Profits. Now, Imperium, there was no Walter. It was just Eichner and Bartel. Now, Alexander Wolf was on the outside. And I love Alexander Wolf just due to sanity. But I feel like he, just his presence, obviously, you know, takes it to a 3-on-2. You don't even need Walter. Walter's, you know, a totally different entity. They are, Eichner and Bartel, Imperium in general, 100% a more disciplined team. Like I was saying, Birch and Oney Lorcan have their unpredictable offense, whereas Imperium, they're very disciplined, they're very tight, they use tag team offense very well. They caught the final two moves after Lorcan was just flying through the match, and then he got hit by a spine buster and then a almost like a European uppercut into a powerbomb off the top rope. Don't know the name of that move. That match, just because it had some intensity, I give it a 3 out of 5. It was a good match to watch. There was nothing on this card that I would go below 3. Now, there were a couple matches I gave 2s, and I can explain why. But this card overall was a good 6.5 to 7 out of 10 for me. It was fantastic. This is a definite must watch. Next match was Io Shirai versus Caden Carter, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I have never seen Caden Carter before. She reminds me. Love the look, love the entrance, a lot of energy. Reminds me of Ember Moon a little bit, and the thing about that is I'm super high on Ember Moon. I think she's being wasted up on the roster, but Caden Carter has that feel for me. There was nice offense on both sides in this match, a lot of good striking. Caden Carter is very, very athletic, very agile, but Io Shirai in the end was just absolutely too much. She hit an unbelievable German suplex on Caden Carter. It was it almost looked like it was to be bridged, but it was released at the beginning and then grabbed for a bridge, but she let her go. It was followed by a moonsault. It was great. Like, that move alone gives this match 2 out of 5 stars. There wasn't a lot more in this match that really had me intrigued. After the match, Shirai made some comments. She grabbed the mic and she said, "Not Rhea, not Bianca, Shayna, it's me." So now you have Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai. They all have their names in the "I want you next" Shayna Baszler basket. The next match, you got Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic. Now, on any normal night, I think this could have been the main event. There's still other good matches up, but this match, I think, could be a main event. You look at both these guys, just the look of both these guys. Keith Lee, 6'2", 320. Dominik Dijakovic, 6'7", 275. There is 600 pounds of man in the ring between these two on an average of 6'5". Fantastic. Two super heavyweights. And the action in this match. I mean, these guys are what each one has a win, and then they had a no contest or a double count out or something like that on a match. So this was the fourth match. This was supposed to be the grudge match, the final of the no contest didn't count, so the best out of 3. Keith Lee at the beginning of the match started targeting, I'm going to call him DD because I don't want to keep saying his name. So Keith Lee, because I'm going to screw it up one of these times, it's not going to be Dijakovic, it'll be something completely different. But Keith Lee targeted DD's arm the entire match. It came to the point toward the end of the match, Dijakovic couldn't even use his left arm to pick up Keith Lee. I mean, it's a feat to do that anyway. It's 320 pounds, but with a injured left arm, it's almost impossible. So at one point, Keith Lee did a frog splash on his left arm on the ground. I was thinking, I saw that right when he went up to the top, went for the frog splash. I'm like, okay, DD's done. It is not even possible that he's getting up. But then I saw him land on just the arm, and it's just the ring psychology and the moves, everything portrayed on that. And I feel like wrestling's kind of getting away a little bit from that type of psychology where you use one part and you keep going against that part until the person can't use it anymore. It's like in the video games where you break down a part and you know, once you break down the arms or the body or the legs, the head will fall, and that's always the case. Keith Lee in general, after that frog splash, hit him with a great sit-down powerbomb. It actually rolled up Dijakovic. He landed so high on his shoulders that he ended up rolling him up. Dijakovic ended up hitting a nice cyclone kick that leveled Keith Lee. Like, that would be a move. That could be a finisher. That kind of reminds me, similar to a brogue kick in a way from Sheamus, but it was a nice turnaround cyclone kick. You have Lee later on in the match hit this suplex. So it was a vertical suplex, but Dijakovic was not touching the ground. So, you know, listen, if you watch wrestling, you know how these guys do some of these moves. You know, you're not going to have Rey Mysterio picking up Brock Lesnar. But you could, because if Lesnar pushes off enough and they have the momentum, it could happen. So in this, you had Keith Lee go for a vertical suplex, try to pick him up once. Dijakovic fought it off. Tried to pick him again, fought it off. Now, Keith Lee has Dijakovic's feet probably 2 feet above the ground. At that point, maybe like a foot and a half. At that point, he lifts him up, raw power, vertical suplex down there. That's lifting 275 pounds of dead weight straight above your head into the ground. Fantastic. This match alone, 4 out of 5 stars. I'm going to give it a 3.5 just because there was no finish right before the end. Keith Lee reversed the electric chair to reverse Hurricanrana. Right after that, Roderick Strong comes in, interferes, which gets a really pissed off William Regal out there and says, Roderick Strong, because of what you guys did earlier to Velveteen Dream, there will be a triple threat match because this ended in a no contest, so still no end to this feud. You will be against Keith Lee, Dominic Dijakovic, and Roderick Strong. Triple threat match for the North American Championship next week on NXT. Very excited. This match is a takeover feel 100%. Next match we got Matt Riddle versus Bronson Reed. I don't know a lot about Bronson Reed. I've heard the name. Don't know a lot about him. Obviously know Matt Riddle. If you haven't watched the special on the network about Matt Riddle, fantastic watch. It's him and his family. It shows his move and things like that. Fantastic. I don't know how I feel about him just wearing or not wearing shoes, just being barefooted. To me, that's unsafe. I know Rusev did it for a little bit and had an ankle injury. It's something that I think is inevitable, but with his MMA background, I feel like that's the reason he does it and feels comfortable. I would have to be working on my ankles all day, every day, and have them swole to have that happen because I have weak ankles, and I know that match alone, a single match, I would not be able to do, let alone every match like he does. But Bronson Reed is massive. And if you look at this match, it looks like a complete mismatch. Like, it doesn't even look like these two dudes should be in the same ring together. But Reed had a little bit of offense, nothing crazy. A couple strikes. This was all Matt Riddle. He showcased his strength. I'm going to just name like 6 moves that he did. 5 moves in particular, but he did some, you know, running clotheslines in the corner, but 5 moves in particular that showed the strength of Matt Riddle. He hit an exploder, his penalty kick, which, you know, that doesn't really show much. He lifted him up for the go to sleep, hit him with a powerbomb, which I was concerned Bronson Reed was going to land on his head, but he ended up kind of pulling it up just a little bit, and then his move, the Bro Jerick, at the end. To end the match, before the match and after the match, they had a nice little fist bump, nice sign of respect. I kind of like that. I like that Ring of Honor aspect where they, you know, shake hands, fist bump, do whatever, like some type of acknowledgement, and it's not always just an in and out, you know, I'm done. This match, I'm going to give a 3 out of 5, specifically for Matt Riddle's show of strength. Now, I know I'm not thinking he's weak, but to pick up a guy like Bronson Reed, and as many times as he did, it shows me that Matt Riddle's got a lot more to offer in this division and potentially in the future as a heavyweight champion, because he's going to be going against guys like Killian Dane and things like that. I mean, he already has, but he's going to be going against some of these guys who the vast majority are bigger than him. You know, Adam Cole's not, but the vast majority of these guys in this division are now bigger. Next match was a nice feel-good match. It is only a 2 out of 5 match rating for me, but it's Tainara Conti versus Tegan Nox. Now, what I take out of this match is Tegan Nox is healthy. She went through a match, a very safe match, similar to Ciampa's match, but the difference is you don't have to use your neck as much consistently as you have to use your knees. So just the fact that she got through it, she hit her shiniest wizard on Conti for the win. What stands out about this match, Dakota Kai came out after. They're doing an interview on the side, and as Tegan Nox is starting to get emotional about the, you know, being back and how good it feels, you have 3/4 of the 4 horsewomen of UFC who come out. You got Shayna Baszler, Shafir, and Jesselyn Duke. They came out to interrupt, and basically it was just to showcase them and kind of show that, well, in that sense, there's a 3-on-2. I could see this leading into potential feud with Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox with Shafir and Duke. Whereas Baszler is going to move on, I think, to the Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley's of the world, with the Tegan Nox maybe coming in after the fact. But I think you need to get some tag team matches with Kai and Nox out of that first. Probably my favorite line of the entire night was in that match. It was at the end of the match, I should say, with Shayna Baszler, where she was talking to Tegan Nox. And she was basically like, you know, you've done nothing to deserve this title shot. She says, aren't you running out of limbs to rehab? Real low blow, but fantastic. Like, it was one of those comments that really get to you, and it definitely set Tegan Nox off, but I could see this being a feud tag team-wise. Next match was Boa versus Killian Dean. Boa was selling last week's beatdown when he was face Cameron Grimes. Dane came out, hit him with 2 or 3 Vader bombs. So they set up a match for this week. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Boa looks strong. He very good offensively. He is the type of guy who I could see doing well more for the North American Championship. I wish that they would come up with a TV championship, but I guess that's what the point of the North American is. So, he had a great offensive flurry, which took Killian Dane out of the ring at the beginning. When Boa left the ring, Killian Dane hit him with, I believe it's called the divider, which is similar to what Bray Wyatt does, where they're running and he does like a little side, almost like a splash into your chest, both going full bore at each other. Obviously, Killian Dane, the bigger guy, took out Boa, got in the ring, hit him with 3 Vader bombs and a submission finish. Kind of a weak-looking submission, but I get what they were going. Guy had injured ribs. Kind of see it. The match gets a 2 out of 5, but I'm going to add an extra point for what happened after the match. After the match, Killian Dane's walking out as Pete Dunne is walking in. I don't know whether it was some type of maybe setting up a future feud, but you had Pete Dunne. Killian Dane gets in Pete Dunne's face. Pete Dunne's looking at him like he always does, like he doesn't really care what's happening when. And Dane points in his face, which classic Pete Dunne, grabs his finger, does the classic finger snap, and Killian Dane's hurt, yelling at each other, and Pete Dunne kind of shrugs his shoulders and walks to the ring. And that sets up our main event of the night, which was Pete Dunne versus Damian Priest. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. When I saw Damian Priest, I'm like, this guy looks really familiar. And I might have mentioned this last week, but that is Punishment Martinez, who is fantastic. He is a very, very strong guy. He's 6'5", probably close to 240. He is very impressive striking-wise, whether it's kicks, He's very agile. Jumps from the top rope, dives in and out of the ring. Very, very impressive guy. And then Pete Dunne is I'm not going to say the best of the best, but, like, you know, he is, to me, a top five guy in NXT, and I know that is saying a lot. But in terms of striking, I mean, in terms of striking, I don't think anyone's better than Walter, but Pete Dunne is right up there. He's not called a bruiserweight for nothing, so he is the guy. For me, I'm looking for another breakout. Held the UK championship the longest out of anybody. I'm looking for big things in the future for him. He is still so young. Now, as Nigel McGuinness called it, Pete Dunne started out this match with his usual small joint manipulation, bending Damian Priest's hands, bending his fingers, putting his arms down, and how they put his arms down and have it in almost like an L shape, and then they stomp on the arm at the top, and then he did it again and did like a full boot to the arm, nice like punt kick. I don't know how some of these guys' arms aren't breaking, because it doesn't take much to break an arm. And yes, it's obviously, you know, wrestling is not always as real as it might appear to be, but something like that, that's legit, and that is something that I feel could really seriously injure somebody. After that, both guys had some big forearm shots, some big elbows, some big punches, but I'm going to focus on Damian Priest specifically in this match. Damian Priest, after that, hit a springboard front flip onto Pete Dunne on the outside. He hit him with a razor's edge. He hit him with a Frankensteiner. And I believe the name of the move that I heard after that was Fall from Heaven. I'm not 100% sure. But all of these moves, three or four of these moves, are finishers. So I don't know. Again, you know, we talked last week about spots, and NXT is more indie, but it was just Damian Priest has some amazing moves. After that Fall from Heaven, you had Pete Dunne kick out, got back up, classic Pete Dunne fighting, punching, kicking with no stop. These guys are gassed at this point. Dunne tried a moonsault, but Damian Priest got the legs up, which then led to the ending. Pete Dunne grabbed, again, going for that joint manipulation, grabbed the hand. Priest has him and starts backing him into the corner. This whole time, you got the ref kind of in there. She gets caught up in the corner. As she heads out underneath their arms, Pete Dunne gets a swift kick in the balls, which Mauro Ranallo called it the bullseye the entire time. He was saying that Damian Priest has a bullseye on Pete Dunne, and this was considered the bullseye, as Mauro said. And the ref didn't see the low blow. Damian Priest hits the Reckoning, which is a version of the Crossroads, to end the match. 4 out of 5-star match. It was a fantastic match. It was one of those matches where you want to see again. You want to see them fight again. I don't know if they will. I assume it's not going to end that quickly. But I feel Pete Dunne and Killian Dain, that interaction might be setting up something in the future. I just want to talk about our sponsor just one more time real quick. Don't forget, when it comes to betting, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the absolute best in the business. It's where I play and where you should too. Now, I wouldn't be telling you guys this if they weren't the best. So join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. All you have to do is use promo code WWE to activate the offer. That's promo code WWE. So visit mybookie.ag today. You'll play, you win, and you get paid. So now I'm going to go over what stood out. This entire show, like I said, had a lot of 3 out of 5 matches. It overall was a 6.5 or 7 out of 10. Last week's episode, I would say, was a watch the majority of it. This was a watch the whole thing. And I know I gave a couple 2-star, and that's just because those matches may not have done anything for me. But you may like those matches. But I'm going to give you some matches that stood out to me. First was Riddle versus Bronson Lee. Matt Riddle looked super strong. Bronson Lee, super big. Great moves in that match. It was something that showed Matt Riddle as more than just a striker. It showed him as being like as strong, as fighting. He could fight heavyweights. Of course, I love the opening match, Tommaso Ciampa versus Angel Garza. Garza Jr. is great. But just the fact of seeing Tommaso Ciampa return, it is good to see, kept safe, look for big things for him in the future. Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic, great match. There's three matches prior to this. This fourth match was fantastic, and it's leading up to a triple threat match for the title. Very excited to see what comes from that. I just hope Roderick Strong does not win. If he does, I know it won't be, it won't be a legit win ever for him. Is it a legit win, really? And then finally, the Pete Dunne versus Damian Priest. That had a very takeover feel type match for me. Great chemistry between the two. They only had really 2 or 3 weeks to set this match up. Like, if you look at Damian Priest, kind of blindsided and hit him, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think? There wasn't a lot of buildup, but they put on a hell of a match. It was fantastic. Now I'm going to touch on some of the promos. I'm going to do the Gargano promo first, and then I'm going to get to the Finn promo. There was a great video package on Johnny Gargano, and he's wearing a shirt that says NXT for life. And, you know, he was doing a backstage interview, and, you know, the question was asked, like, you know, about you and Tommaso Ciampa, and he's like, honestly, we have a lot of history together, a lot of ups and downs. But he's going to find out when he sees him face to face, kind of where they're at. And I'm going to tell you why this is important in a minute, because Gargano brought up Ciampa, Undisputed Era brought up Ciampa, Balor, and Dream. I see some things coming up in the future. But speaking of Finn Balor, he had a promo where it's just kind of him sitting in front of a camera, and I'm going to read you the promo verbatim just so you can hear what the promo was. Finn Balor's promo says, "When your life comes to a crossroads," now I'm not Irish, so it takes away from the theme and the you know where I'm going with this, but I'm just going to read it in straight up English. "When your life comes to a crossroads, the only way to find a path to take is to revisit the ones you've walked before. How did you get here? Did your footsteps leave the world in a better place? Or did your missteps leave the world covered in darkness, egos, mistakes, errors? Retrace your steps to find your heart. I have. Next week, my future will be my past." And I just love the fact that Finn Balor is back in NXT. Like, he is one of those guys, and I have something saved for a time where there might be a little less to talk about, or the show might not be, or maybe just I might do a special NXT show where we talk about some guys that I don't think should have left and what they're being done. But Finn Balor is one of those guys. I was sad to see him go up. I mean, happy to see him succeed and be on the main roster, but sad to see him go because NXT felt more homey to me for him. So now where do we go from here? There's two matches listed for next week. They haven't promoted anything for 2 weeks from now, but there's two matches listed for next week. It is Roderick Strong versus Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic for the North American Championship. Should be a fantastic match. I have a feeling it's going to showcase Keith Lee and DD more than Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong, I think, is going to come in and hit his moves when he can, but it should be a pretty good match. And then you're going to have Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. The winner of this match, I could see doing something with Io Shirai, or in the next 2 weeks, maybe doing something, maybe the next 3 weeks, doing something with the three of them, having like a round robin style matches and kind of setting up who's going to face Shayna Baszler. But I want to touch on some War Games ideas, and this is what I was saying when I was mentioning different guys' names. I was thinking that you have the Undisputed Era specifically name-dropping Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor, and the Velveteen Dream. Now, they set that up to where it was basically those three guys and us four guys. Johnny Gargano, when they did his promo with, you know, talk about Johnny Wrestling and NXT for Life and things like that, and they specifically mentioned Ciampa, I could see the four of them, Balor, Ciampa, Gargano, and Dream, teaming up against the Undisputed Era in a War Games match, which I think would be fantastic. I think it should be a highlight of the card. Now, the other two matches I could see for War Games right now also relate to the Undisputed Era, but they are more solos matches. One, I could see Roderick Strong versus Velveteen Dream. Now, this is if Velveteen Dream is healthy, and this is also if Roderick Strong retains next week because he's in a triple threat match for the North American Championship. He may not retain, but I think this will be a good end to the feud at, you know, a big time takeover event like War Games. I think it could be huge. The other match I could see is Ciampa versus Balor versus Cole. You put the three top guys in it right now for the belt. You could protect Ciampa and Balor as long as one doesn't take the pin. Cole can take the pin. He doesn't need to win to still be strong, because they could play it off as it wasn't one-on-one. There was two of you. I don't want to see any of those guys lose, to be quite honest. That's why I think the first one I mentioned, the War Games match, will be the one that they go with. Well, that's going to be all for me today. I appreciate you guys listening. Please feel free to reach out to me at Twitter at @thecoplacetogo with any questions or comments. I would love to cover those on next week's show if you have any. And I hope to hear from everybody and see everybody soon.